You know, taking over for Joyce, you know, you don't know what you're getting involved in. You really don't. It's just like ignorance. It's like getting married. Do you want to get married? Yeah, I do. You don't know what marriage is until you're already married. That's the paradox of kind of life in some way, right? One of the great pleasures is meeting people like Robert Scott Bell. RobertScottBell.com is his website. You can check it out. He's got a show 6 days a week. He's all over, Facebook, YouTube, the like. He is a leading mind, as you can certainly tell or listen and hear from him today. And we're very excited to have him on, and hopefully have him on, again a lot in the future. We're going to take a few minutes, and Joel's waiting by for straw. If you're waiting for straw bale gardening, we are going to talk about straw bales. So, just a little ending epilogue, I guess, with Robert. Vaccines, to me, I don't know if they're the most important medical issue, but they're sure close because of all the different facets and the political and the control issues about vaccines. Overall, before this COVID situation, what was your general take on the vaccine debate, you know, vaccine pushers as opposed to vaccine freedom, choice, and those kind of things? What did you make of the environment before this?
Well, first, people need to realize that vaccines are the gateway biologic or drug to a lifelong dependency on pharmaceutical intervention.
Wow.
And pharmaceuticals or pharmakia, that's a form of sorcery by and large. It increases vulnerability to things called germs, right? Because the germs don't cause disease. They're the result of disease. And the disease is the imbalance that's created by injecting toxic poisons, heavy metals, foreign genetic material from animals and or aborted fetal tissue. You know, children that have been aborted that they put in these things. So it's a disaster from the word go. At the same time, I'm a advocate for choice, you know, because I don't want my choice taken away from me. I don't want to take it away from you. So if you want to do it, I wouldn't physically stand in your way. I might try to encourage you to look deeper into it. But for me, it's a non-starter. I'm with Michael Badnarik, who ran for president in 2004 as a libertarian candidate. And he said, you know, if forced vaccinations ever come to pass, he says, Doc, you bring the syringe, I'll bring my 45, and we'll see who makes a bigger hole.
Ooh, I like that. Do you think it's coming to that? I mean, obviously, that's kind of in the back of people's minds. Do you think it's coming to that?
Well, I'm going to play a clip today. Superdome, my producer, just sent me of one of the Federal Reserve chairmen, of all things, saying how we're going to get back to work. And they're saying universal mandatory testing for coronavirus, which we know the tests are crap. They are. I'm just saying it politely as I can. And they're saying, then we'll give you a badge to wear to let people know that you're safe. Every day they're going to do this. I mean, this is from one of the Federal Reserve chairmen. So recognize this is an economic war. Yes, it's a spiritual war. But to destroy the economy so that you'll accept the medical church to be that part of your life intimately every moment of every day, and you will not be allowed to leave your home without their stamp of approval or their badge, like my ancestors wearing the gold star of David.
Nazi Germany,
exactly. And so they're manifesting it in a more technological way, but it's the same fear-based scenario to control you and limit your ability to move about the Earth cabin or the American cabin. So
let me interject. You know, this is the first I've heard of this. You can tell where this is going. See, this lets you know that this is a scam. Whether people are dying or not dying, that's a separate issue between how they're using it. What in the world does the Fed chairman know about medical research and medical testing? Why is the Fed chairman saying this?
Well, that's exactly right. And that's part of the discovery, the process of discovery I went through asking these questions and realized that the Federal Reserve is, like G. Edward Griffin says, not federal and doesn't have any reserves. It's a private banking consortium owned by very few people. It's connected to the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. It's not an American institution. It's more powerful than any government in a sense because it's kind of laid the foundation for the artificial creation of fiat money in this sense to control the world. So in this sense, you're right to ask the question, what is the Fed, one of the Fed chair people doing saying, hey, you know, this is how we get back to work. We get coronavirus testing every day before you leave your house. You get to wear a badge. I mean, this is to the heart of the if you talk about how the Luciferian agenda manifests on the planet, it does so through the banking system, through bankers. I think somebody named Jesus threw out the money changers a long time ago from the temple.
Well, that's what we need to do again. The EU, this story broke, I think the end of last week, or maybe over the weekend. I don't know, time flies, but EU is preparing a system where people can be tracked. Coronavirus patients can be tracked. And I'm like, oh, I see where this is going. That was EU, but what you just said right now, that tells me that Chinese social credit system, surveillance system, what have you, whatever mechanism you want to call that, they're ready for that here in America. They're using this as the ruse. That's what you just told me.
Yeah, man, the root way to control people is through social security numbers, because your social credit scores come through that. So we already have Chinese communism operating by taking you from a spiritual being to a de facto
corporation
of banking. Yeah, exactly. And, of course, they're trying to make it more technological, and they're trying to frighten you into it because it's for your own protection. If we don't, then you never know if somebody breathes on you. The simple act of breathing has now become a criminal act. I mean, you talk about, an evil agenda. You now have turned man, woman, and child against one another, because instead of looking at each other with the loving eyes of God and spirit, you now look at them as a vector for transmission of infection and death. How is that changing a worldview?
Yeah, let's separate.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's not touch each other. Let's be distance.
No affection, no connection, no community. And it's been argued yesterday, my buddy Dr. Batar talked about the 6-foot separation was more or less to keep that kind of thing going indefinitely, because it's much easier to track through these new technologies with cell phones if you're not so close together. So there's other elements to this that go beyond
this.
We're afraid of you. Yeah. And the 5G issue is all about the tracking as well. And 5G certainly is impacting people who are vaccinated much worse than people who are not, because of the different heavy metal components that have been injected, mercury, aluminum, etc. So that's also precipitating vulnerability.
Have you been to Walmart lately, like the last couple of days?
I went to Squalmart a couple of days ago to check it out, and I actually, where we are,
Did you say Squalmart?
Isn't that what they're called? No? I'm sorry.
That's funny. Anyway, go ahead. You went there.
Yeah, I went there to get, because they still had organic seeds, although up in Vermont, apparently they've cordoned that off. They don't want you to get seeds for planting, which is going to your next guest, is the most important thing we can all be doing now. Grow food, not lawns. Hay bale, or however you can do it. But yeah, I went there, and there were a couple of people with masks, but most people, I would say, hey, how you doing? They're like, oh, great, I'm doing great. I said, I'm not afraid. And then one guy said, amen. And then there was another woman who must have been in her 80s or 90s pushing a cart very slowly around. She wasn't even wearing a mask. So there are people that are seeing through it, but there are people that are like just looking around as if, oh, wow, we're being protected, right? We cordoned off every entrance except one, and you have to be corralled like cattle to go through that one entrance, and we can't let more people in than a certain number. So there's a lot of insanity happening, too.
Well, this reminds me of when, I was a little child and my great-grandmother would come visit on an airplane. I used to be able to go to the terminal and sit there and wait and watch the airplane land.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, to me, that's what's happening now. Is this going to be the new, quote, normal, taking our shoes off at the airport? It disturbed me very much. I was very put off by Walmart.
Yeah, I mean, this is playing itself out everywhere because the few of us that know are not speaking out. Now, this is not an accusation to anyone in particular. I think, like I said, it's not just about us in media. I think we have a responsibility to communicate this, but we've got to go back home or wherever you're listening, because most people are at home now, and talk to one another about this and get beyond the fear of the germ, which has controlled us for too long, and now it's manifesting as the inevitable imprisonment, self-imposed imprisonment, where we go, oh, it's for our own good, right? You better be secure. Get rid of freedom. It's too dangerous. And that each human that breathes now is a vector for disease transmission or death. And again, how obvious does it have to be that that's from a demonic viewpoint, a Luciferian agenda? Because that's not of God. That's never been the message of God. And that's what we're hearing from our government or our medical professionals or our media. No, I'm not participating in that.
Well, liberty is not safe, and liberty is also worth more than your life. I mean, that's the Bill of Rights is worth more than my life. I'll freely admit it. It's worth more than people listening. Every person who's listening to this broadcast right now, you could put us all together. Our physical lives are not worth as much as the fulfillment and the execution of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Well, it established a form of government that never before been attempted in recorded history that would, again, defend our individual liberty, our rights coming from God, not government, not a king, queen, or emperor. But right now we got kings, queens, and emperors operating what's known as the bureaucratic oligarchy, whether it be CDC or NIAID with Tony Fauci, who's more powerful than presidents. He's been there for a bunch of them. And because we're afraid of invisible things that they claim they can detect through magic technology, which doesn't detect it, PCR, et cetera, again, we're being duped.
Well, we'll go to the Middle East and we'll kill people left or right, and we'll risk our youngest, our brightest, mm-hmm. and we'll sacrifice them for whatever over there. But God forbid, 100,000 people are going to die. Well, we'll just give up our whole government. Well, why don't we fight with the same fervency here? I mean, why don't we ask the same important questions? And why do we trust them? It's time to stop trusting them. My default position in government, always, mm-hmm. always. The first thing out of their mouth, my default position is they're lying until I am able to satisfactorily prove otherwise. That's my default position.
Daniel. Amen. More people need to come to that position, and then if they can factually verify and validate it independently, that's fine.
Then I'll believe it.
But
right.
The only thing
I believe on news is the baseball score. And that's even that you got to double check. I mean, the weather, you can't even trust the weather half the time. Anyway, we could go on and on. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on, Robert. RobertScottBell.com, well worth your attention, and fantastic to hear your opinion. Really good to reconnect with you, and we'll be doing a lot more. And thank you so much, Robert, for coming on today.
Daniel, I appreciate you so much. You don't even know. So thank you for your voice out there speaking out. Anytime I can help you and get you on my show, I want to do it too. So we'll talk again soon.
Yep, I can't wait. And we'll have you on regular. We'll go back and forth regular. I love this. God bless you, buddy.
All right. Take care, Daniel.
There he goes, Robert Scott Bell. Did you? What do you think of him? That's the first time we've interviewed
him. One of my top five of all time already. That was amazing.
He's great, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He's great. Meeting him was really cool, hanging out with him, just with that level. That's a level of people that were at that meeting in Houston. And I feel guilty. I feel bad. I feel a lot. I feel a lot of emotions. I feel overwhelmed. I mean, with everything going on about Houston and not, we were getting momentum. Really, we had some big things on the horizon, and this thing kind of just
put a squash on it.
Well, just kind of kicked you in the gut and kind of stopped. Yeah,
It slowed it a little bit.
Yeah, I just kind of had to reset all our plans that we mm-hmm. made. Just kind of, had to. But we'll get it going again, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
again,
right.
We'll need you, and we'll need people like Robert Scott Bell. This is it. This is what you're here for, ladies and gentlemen. This is what you're here for. And like Robert said, and on the break, he talked about our next guest, Joel Karsten.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Joel, I want to know how to grow on a hay bale.
Yeah, Todd, do we have Joel? Is Joel ready? Okay, strawbellgardens.com, he's been on. He said it's been 2 years. I didn't realize it was two. I thought he comes on every year.
I remembered him from a while back, but I can't remember how far.
Time goes. Oh, my gosh. Time goes way too quick. Strawbellgardening.com. Strawbellgardens.com. Strawbellgardens.com is his website. He's a graduate from the University of Minnesota and has received a bachelor's in horticulture science. So, this is very good.
Got
of course, Strawbell Gardens. He's an expert. Excited to have him on. Joel, welcome to the Power Hour. Welcome back to the Power Hour.
It's great to be back with you, Daniel.
Well, absolutely. Our last guest talked about how important strawbells, growing gardens right now, what have you. How would you answer that? How important is growing your own food, at least taking some step right now?
Well, when you're involved in the industry like I am, you can see a huge momentum shift towards people. Maybe it's because they're all locked in their houses. I don't know. But we see a huge upsurge of interest. And I think it's been a trend for a long time, but I think it's beyond a trend now. I think it's a shift, a societal shift to people that want to know where their food's coming from, what it's grown from, and that whole food insecurity issue, making sure you have a steady supply and you know where it's coming from, and worst case scenario, the worst thing happens and you can still feed yourself.
That, other than 2 months ago, for most of America, that may not even have ever crossed their mind.
Yeah, and luckily, this is a terrible disaster, but at least it hasn't really had much of an impact.
It's really not.
To be honest with you, Joel,
it's really the only disaster. Honestly, I mean, if you're going to talk about if you're going to use the word terrible, I'm not berating you. I'm going along with the discussion here. But the only thing terrible about it is the economic impact that we're going to see,
right,
and for individuals, to me.
Right.
But I get what
yeah.
you're saying.
But I mean, it's, you know, any kind of a major disruption like this, you'd think the food supply would be disrupted, but it really hasn't been. Other than people hoarding, for me, it's been ground beef I haven't been able to buy. But
yeah.
I don't know what people all must be grilling out at home, or I don't know what's going on. But,
well, what else is there to do except grow straw bale gardens and grill out?
Yeah,
I mean, what else do you do?
That's right.
There's two Walmarts that are relatively close here to where I live, and the one Walmart will only let you buy one package of meat a time. You know, I got a big family here. I got relatives, got my uncle. I mean, he likes to eat. I mean, one little package of 1 pound of meat is not going to cut it.
Yeah.
It doesn't cut it.
Do it.
The other Walmart, I can buy the whole store for one. They don't care.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. So if I go to get if I have to get the meat, I go up to that Walmart.
Yeah.
That's where we are. Anyway. Do you think that this is catching on? Do you think this is going to be a permanent thing maybe after this disaster calms down?
I do. I think, you know, anytime you can get somebody sort of enthused and excited, and I always say that success breeds enthusiasm. So especially with straw bale gardening, because it's such a simple process to learn, and it doesn't require any tools, and you don't have to have any land, and, you know, there's all these big benefits to this method. Once you get people's feet wet and you give them a little taste of success, then that's going to extrapolate. You know, their gardens might get bigger. Maybe it's bigger straw bale gardens. Maybe it's growing other things besides just their vegetables. But I think it's a great start for sure.
All right. Well, let's start into straw bale gardening. What in the world is it? How did you get involved in this?
Well, I've been doing it for a long time. This will be my 29th spring.
Wow.
I started doing this. I grew up on a crop and dairy farm. So we already.
What did you grow?
Yeah, corn and soybeans. You know, southern Minnesota, southwest Minnesota. We had
typical
really
GMO. Got the number on every.
No, it was long before GMOs. There was no such thing back when
I was on
the farm.
Wow.
No, it was just, you know, a lot of guys still detasseled corn. You know, they would hybrid their own corn. So they'd pull the tassels off of the females, and they would cross the male, so you get an F1 hybrid. But farmers did it themselves. You know, you could plant this out in your field and grow your own seed corn. So a lot of people.
Why did they do that? What were they trying? Now I'm fascinated by this. What were they trying to accomplish?
There's female and male parts on every corn plant. Boy, this is really getting off path.
This is
female
biology lesson here. This is a family show, Joe. This is a family show.
The male is the tassel, which is the little flower that comes off the top of the corn plant, and that has the pollen in it, and it bursts open, and it comes down, and it goes on in the silk. And everybody's dealt with the silk when they try to peel corn to eat corn. That's those little hairs on the corn.
Yeah.
That's the silk. So the pollen comes down, lands on the silk, and then it fertilizes that corn, and that's what causes the corn to grow. Well, if you have two plants and one has good genetics and the other one has good genetics, you'll take the male, the flowers off of one, and you let that one produce pollen, and then you pull all the tassels off of all the other plants so that they cross with each other. So you get the pollen from one that fertilizes the silks of all the other plants. And then what's generated is called an F1 generation. So it's the first time that two parents cross, that's your F1 generation, and that creates a consistent genetic that you can then plant out again as a new crop.
It's like two good.
Up good characteristics. You know, you get one that's drought tolerant, you get another one that doesn't lodge as much, and lodging is where the corn falls over easily. You get one that has bigger ears or is more pest resistant. And, you know, you cross them to try to get better characteristics generally in their offspring. It's the same thing, really. It's nature's way of survival of the fittest. You know, when a plant crossbreeds with another plant and you get the result is a stronger plant, then that plant's going to be more vigorous and its genetics carry on, where the weaker plants, their genetics may be lost. So it's really, but it's a slow evolutionary process in nature, where with human beings, we can do this, you know, pretty instantaneously.
You say lodging. Is this kind of like then individual farmers back then? They have a big crop. They almost have their own unique brand of corn that they come up with, and that almost protects the crops, because maybe their crop is not as susceptible to this new disease as, you know, Farmer John on the other street or other acreage. His crop is different also, so his is susceptible, but yours isn't, or vice versa. So it kind of creates a biodiversity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In the old days, I remember even as a kid, you know, I'm 50 years old now, but even as a 5-year-old kid, I remember going to field days they would have, and it was where one farmer would plant all these different varieties, and then you drive along their field, and you'd see all these signs at the end of their rows, and that was the different varieties of corn, and then they would cross them, and then you'd come and they'd harvest them, and you could look at the crops and see which ones performed better, which crossbreed seemed to be better, and usually those were sponsored by, in the early days it was seed corn companies, but they weren't back then what they are today. I mean, today it's all, everything is done with CRISPR, you know, with gene modification, where back then it was just crossbreeding two things. You know, you cross two together and see what your results are. And so it was just a day for all the farmers in the county or whatever to get together and see what corn seemed to do better, you know, in your county or your township or whatever. So it was an education day.
I have no idea. This is fascinating me. I thought we were going to talk about straw bale gardening. We're talking about. I am fascinated by these corn tassels. I love corn. I used to grow as a young boy. We had a pretty sizable garden. I mean, nothing probably like you're talking about, but you know, we had half acre worth of garden. And boy, there's nothing like going up and getting your own corn right out of your own garden. Watermelon, whatever. It's fantastic. Stay tuned, Joel. Strawbalegardens.com. And more on the other side. Wow. What a cool interview.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made. Good for you. Food stores I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. Of course, the Strauss Heart Drops. One of the most profound thing we've ever sold 20-plus years on the Power Mall. And when I say profound, I mean, you know, you're scheduled for a bypass. You get on your heart drops. A few months later, the doctor says, well, we'll wait. And then pretty soon, the doctor says, well, we'll just cancel.
That's amazing.
That's profound.
That's an amazing story.
That happens.
And it happened over and over and over.
Diabetes.
And over.
Well, we got to watch your leg. We might have to lose your leg. And then you go, you don't have to lose your leg
anymore.
Can
you imagine being that patient and the doctor says, well, we're going to cancel your surgery? Remarkable. Unbelievable.
Well, and think about if you're healthy or you think you're healthy, think about what it can do for you to prevent.
When he did 2 years ago, I've been on that heart drops for 2 years now. I didn't have any heart problems. I didn't want any heart problems. So that's why I went on it. You know?
Well, you had a crease in your ear.
I did, yeah.
And I didn't have any problems either, but I definitely felt a surge. You know, I felt something was opening up in my vessel or something. I could feel it in my chest. You could just feel it. The kidney support formula.
Well,
I'm a big fan of that. Yeah. You're an even bigger fan.
Yeah,
of this.
I'm a huge fan of that. It's just helped me immensely.
The CardioCom. I've never taken the CardioCom, but maybe I should. Catherine, we should start taking the CardioCom.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it can't hurt.
No.
You got any heart damage? It's supposed to repair.
The Strauss products are
amazing. Simply amazing.
Revolutionary, so many ways. Anyway, those and so much more over at the Power Mall, thepowermall.com. The Helon cream, the Land cream, what have you, is on there. The Stetzer meters. There's lots of different products. There's something you can find that's good for you. My book, Forever 1776. My uncle helped me write it, Forever 1776. You can get that book and share it with somebody, especially now. This ethic, see, it's going to be principles that endure. Principles are going to save us. And who are you? Are you endowed by your creator or aren't you? Is the Bill of Rights the law or isn't it? Those are the two of the most important questions you can ask right now. Two of the more important questions you can ask and discuss and proliferate and whatever through your sphere of influence. Another way that you can influence yourself is Straw Bale Gardens. StrawBaleGardens.com.
You grow your own food.
You grow your own food. Anyway, the Power Mall, 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. If you're in, not everybody lives on some acres and has a huge garden area that they can put up a greenhouse, but pretty much everybody. I mean, even if you live in a condo, if you got a little porch, you can put a straw bale on your porch outside. This concept, this can work for just about anybody, I would think. And we're talking to Joel Karsten about strawbalegardens.com, strawbalegardens.com. Joel, we were talking about corn on the other side. We went from strawbale gardens to corn. My uncle's pretty fascinated about this corn. He's got to get this question. Go. What's your question about the corn?
Yeah, you're talking about the tassels and the silk and putting them together. How does that process work? Is it a long process? And what do? Do you plant what comes out of it? I thought corn, you planted seeds.
This is corn sex. This is where you got
avert your eyes, ladies and gentlemen.
You've got
this is farmer porn right now.
Okay, so we got two different corn seeds, and we want to hybrid them together. So we plant one row of male plants, and they have both male and female parts, but we want the male from this row. So we plant that row of corn, then we plant three or four rows of female, and that's the one that's going to actually create the hybrid as a result when you harvest the corn. So now when both plants get to the right stage, you're going to see the tassels on the male one we want to keep, but we want to cut all the tassels off of the female plant. So that's called detasseling. That's where you get real tired, your arms up in the air pulling the tassels off.
So it takes a long time.
Right. And then the pollen comes down and lands on the silk.
Pause right there. Let me clarify. So you don't do anything to the male plants. It just naturally falls on the
wind blows it wind on it.
Wind carries it. There's like 1,000 times more than is really needed, but these little pieces of pollen come down, land on the silks, and the silks are each one has a little thread. You know, it looks like threads coming out of the end of that corn. Each one of those goes down to one kernel, so it fertilizes each kernel. And then,
are you kidding me? How did I not know any of this?
I didn't know nothing.
Have you ever grown corn? You have never. When did you grow? How did you not know about tassels?
I didn't know. I just grew it naked. That's all I did.
So this guy, I am fast. Go ahead, Joel. I mean,
and then what grows? You know, has been fertilized by one seed. The other ones, all the pollen was all pulled off, so that they didn't produce any offspring. And you take the result, and you can basically use the male plants. They'll produce an ear of corn also, but that's not your objective ear. So you just get rid of those, and you keep all the female plants, the ones that you had pulled the tassels off of. Now you got a good, clean hybrid, and then you plant those seeds to see what that resulting crop looks like. So it takes 2 years just to see the results of the crossbreed that you did 2 years earlier. So it's a very, very slow process.
I just planted it and ate it.
Well, so this is, things that people need to understand. Hybrid seeds does not mean GMO seeds.
Oh, no. Very different. Yeah, we've been hybriding plants for, Mother Nature's been doing it for eons and years. You know, that's how stronger plants are built, and different color leaves and different, things like that.
I understand.
You should breed for it.
What you're saying now makes me understand more about the whole lawsuits and the controversy about the GMO field. So there'll be a GMO field in parcel A, and then parcel B is across the street. The wind will blow parcel A into parcel B, and then all of a sudden now parcel B's got GMO strains, and then Monsanto sues the owner of parcel B. Oh, you got my patented strains in your corn. So we own it now. You owe us money. And like, wait a minute, I'm just growing my hybrid seeds here. What do you mean?
Genetic drift. Yeah, that'll happen.
Wow. Okay. Well, that was fascinating. Now, let's get back to the reason why you're here. Teach us how to straw. What is a straw bale garden? And what do we need?
All,
what's the deal?
The thing for any listener that's never followed straw bale gardening or heard of it, let's first clarify that what we're doing here is we're starting with a bale of straw, but by the time you plant, we're going to do a two-week process. It's called conditioning. And by the time we plant into that bale, it's not really straw inside anymore. It becomes early stage soil or compost inside that bale. So we have to do a process. It's where we feed the bacteria inside the bale. And we feed them what they like to eat, which is nitrogen. So for a couple of weeks, you're going to put some nitrogen fertilizer. You can do this organically using blood meal. Works really well. Or just traditional lawn fertilizer.
What is blood meal?
Blood meal is dried blood. Usually from the pork processing.
Oh, my gosh.
They heat it. So It gets really hot and dry, and then they bag it up. It's granular. It's a wonder. It has 12.5% nitrogen in it, so it's a little stinky, but but it works really well.
All right, let's move off the dry pig blood.
And you get them wet, and then that grows bacteria. Now, you can't see that happen, so that you got to trust me that it's actually working. Your bales will get warm, so you can kind of tell it's happening. Put your hand on in there, you know, get 130, 140 degrees inside that bale of straw. And
really?
So you do that for 2 weeks. Yep. Then the temperature drops inside the bale, and now you can plant. Now the inside of that bale has broken down, has begun, we call it the metabolization. That's where the bacteria start to break the leaves and the stalks of the wheat or the oats or whatever your straw is made of, starts to break that stem back down into cells, the cells back down into compounds, and the compounds back into molecules that we would recognize. Things like nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, molybdenum, zinc, calcium, iron, manganese, all the micro and macronutrients that a new plant needs to grow. Now you stick a root down in there, and you got this nice moist situation happening inside of the bale, and lots of free ions and cations floating around, these little molecules of the things I just mentioned. Those can now be absorbed through the roots of a new vegetable plant, and up comes your tomato plant or whatever out of that bale of wheat straw. So the nutrients there are coming from the decomposed straw, not from the fertilizer we put in the bale. That fertilizer is to feed the bacteria. Then the bacteria eat the fertilizer, colonize the bale, and the little bacteria start to metabolize the straw, and that's where the nutrients come from.
All right, let me summarize so I don't get lost, see if I understand, to make sure our audience understands. You get a straw bale, does it matter how big or what kind of hay, that doesn't matter or what?
Any straw, any hay, anything you can find. We use rice straw, we use baled sugarcane stalks down in the Dominican Republic. I mean, it depends on where you go. You might not have wheat straw or oat straw, but whatever you have, organic material,
okay,
that's baled.
It'll
up.
Work.
That's what we need.
Yep. Okay, so you got the bale. You wet it a little bit, I guess, I imagine kind of in the center of it. You wet it there, and then you put in some sort of nitrogen solution or mix on it.
Yep,
yes?
Fertilizer. Yep, just cheap lawn fertilizer or this blood meal stuff we talked about if you want to be organic.
Ugh, I can't go there. Let's just go with the fertilizer. Okay, so you wet it. Now, do you do it immediately? Do you like wet it and then immediately put the fertilizer or you wait?
I put the fertilizer before I even start anything. I put some dry granular fertilizer on and then I start watering it. First time you water, it's going to take a lot because that bale will hold 5 gallons of water inside of an average size bale. It sucks up and holds a lot of water. Try picking
up a wet bale of straw. You really make it wet now.
It takes a lot of water. The first day. Then after that, you just do a gallon of water just to keep it moist. So
every day?
Pretty much every day for that first 10 days and until this conditioning process has completed. And you're going to see those bales will get really hot. They'll never start on fire. You don't need to worry about that. But you stick your hand down in there and you can feel 130, 140 degrees. That's hot. You know,
this is fascinating.
That's really hot dishwater, 130, 140 degrees. You know, a spa that we sit in a hot tub is 104 degrees usually. So you can tell how warm that is. So another 30, 35 degrees warmer than that. So you stick your hand there, you can feel this heat coming out. Now, as soon as it cools down and it gets under 100 degrees, which usually is about the 12th day of this process, now you can put your tomatoes in there. But here's the big benefit. This bale is still 80, 90, 95 degrees. When the soil right next to the bale is still 50 or 55 degrees. So all your warm season crops, tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, squash, you know, your melon family, anything like that that you put in this bale gets a big jump start on the season because of this warmth coming out of the bale. And you get really rapid early season production, which gives you a longer season. And for us northerners up here, you know, I'm in Minnesota, so we got about 3 weeks to grow everything. And not quite that bad, but I always tell people we have one good week a year, but you got to call and book ahead because it sells out quick. So you get stuff planted a little bit earlier than you normally ever could. And you'll see when you get early season production results in long term, it results in much larger yield out of that garden in the same square footage as a typical soil garden.
Okay.
The big advantage, there's no weeds. That's the big advantage.
Okay. Wow. That's really okay. Let me ask you about, you said seedling, you put the root in. Do you just put a seed in or do you have to sprout a seed somewhere else and then put it in?
We can do either way. You can plant seeds of things you normally would seed into your garden, peas and beans and carrots and, you know, that kind of stuff. You just plant seeds. if normally you would transplant up north here, we have to start our tomatoes about 8 weeks before our season starts. So we got to sort them in a greenhouse somewhere. So you might go to the garden center, buy a 6-pack tray of tomatoes, and then make a hole in that bale and pop the roots down in there. You don't need any soil at all. I encourage people actually not to take a shovel of their soil and put on top of the bale, because if you do that, now you've just introduced weed seeds again and potential disease and insect problems that we can avoid by just using this brand new soil that's being created inside the bale by this biological process. So we just try to keep it sterile. Now, if you're doing real tiny seeds like carrot seeds, you can't just put those on top of the bale. You need to make a seed bed. And you do that using sterile potting mix, like a bag of potting mix you buy at the store. Make a little thin layer, then put your seeds in that, because it has to have something to hold that seed in position until it germinates.
Then
the roots will go down into the bale. Yeah, the roots will go down into the bale. So,
all right.
But yeah, it's wonderful. You don't have to bend over all the way to the ground. That's another big advantage.
All right, let me ask you about the straw bales in the greenhouse. Say it's, you know, I could imagine, you know, in Missouri, January, even February, you could be putting these straw bales in your greenhouse. They're warm. They probably heat your greenhouse up for you.
They do. Yeah. We have on our website, strawbalegardenclub.com, which you can jump to from our main website. There's a PDF on there of how to build under $100, how to build I call it a 6-week greenhouse. I used to call it my April greenhouse. My publisher's like, you do realize we sell books in Australia, right? So, you know, April's not going to work there. And in Texas, April wouldn't work down there. So, but anytime you can get a shoulder season, so the 6 weeks before you can normally plant outside safely, you know, with temperatures, et cetera, for that 6 weeks, if you need a little tiny seed starter greenhouse, we show you how to build one out of 2 cattle panels. You know what a cattle panel is, Daniel?
I've grown corn. I've never grown cows.
Okay. They're a piece of fencing. It's wire fencing, essentially. They're 16 feet long and they're 50 inches wide, and it's like big squares. Big, thick wire.
Okay. On a different note, I do know how cows reproduce, though. Unlike the corn. I do understand that.
It doesn't
that.
Involve tassels and silks. I can.
Yes. So I'm clear on that. So we don't have to go there on that.
So we take these cattle panels, we hump them up, and we make a greenhouse out of them, and we heat it with the bales.
Wow. Uncle Kevin's got some kind of question here.
Yeah. How many plants can you put on a bale?
Well, by the beginning of July, it should look like the fleece on a sheep. You shouldn't be able to see the straw anymore. So you can get a lot of them, depending on what the plant is. You know, if you're doing a hybrid tomato that's going to get 8 feet tall and 8 feet wide and grow 250 tomatoes, that's a really big plant. So you're probably only going to put one tomato in a bale. But then you can, on the sides of it, you could grow some basil and maybe some carrots on the top. And by the time that tomato is big enough that it started to shade everything else in that bale, the other crops are already done. You know, you've already harvested those by midsummer. And then the tomato really starts to come to maturity, and then it just shades everything around it. So, you know, if you're talking about a tomato or a cucumber, you know, they'll get a pretty massive root system inside of that bale. So probably just one of those. Now, if you're doing a heirloom tomato, it's only going to give you 15 tomatoes. You could probably put 2 of those in a bale. So it kind of depends on what it is you're planting. Peas and beans, 25, 30 in a bale, something like that.
What did you say?
Peas and beans. I'll do 24 bean plants, like pole beans, in a bale, and then I let them crawl up a trellis. I build a trellis above the bales. I'll crawl up that trellis and grow.
20 of them? Wow. So what's a typical, you know, what's a good combination to put in? You know, you talk about growing on the side or whatever. What would be a good, go ahead.
Well, you can do anything in the sides of the bales, as long as it's already rooted. You can't plant a seed into the side of the bale. That wouldn't work. But I do, you know, all of my herbs go in the sides of the bales. You just take
like
take
what kind of herb? Pan. Like, give us examples.
Basil,
some herbs.
Chives, basil, oregano, you know, thyme, any of the herb family. Take a shovel handle, punch a hole right in the side of that bale with your shovel hand. I always tell people, you're not going to use your shovel this summer, so use it for this. Stick the handle in the side of that bale and kind of wiggle it around to make a hole, and then stick the root of that little plug. You know, you buy them a little 6-pack, stick the root way down in the middle of that bale. Don't plant it in the outside edge, because that's going to get dry and it's not going to get a lot of moisture. Just shove the root all the way to the inside, just so it can see a little light to the leaves coming off of that plug, and they'll grow right out the side. You'll have this nice, big, huge basil plant coming right out the side of the bale. If you don't like the look of a strawberry, you can plant flowers in the sides of it. I get a lot of people that will do vegetables from seed on the top of the bale, and then they'll plug some flowers in the sides. That works well.
What do you do with the bale after the growing season is over?
You're, usually a straw bale, you're going to use it for 2 years. Now, the second year, you're going to plant root crops in it. So your potatoes and your beets and, you know, carrots and that kind of stuff, they do best in a second-year bale. And there's two reasons.
Why is that?
One is the bale doesn't get hot the second year like it does the first year. Remember we talked about that heat process. Well, there are some crops that don't like that warmth. You know, potatoes don't like that warmth. And you know, some of your cool season crops, spinach is a good example. They don't like that warmth. They like it nice and cool. So use a second year bale for cool season or root crops. Sometimes you got to reconnoiter them a little bit because the bale will start to decompose. It'll kind of slump and fall over. So you squish two into one. That's what I like to do. Squish two bales into one. And then I wrap them with chicken wire and then staple the ends of the chicken wire on a stick and twist the stick. And that gets a little clamp around the bales. It'll hold them nice and tight together. And then put your potatoes and things like that in there. At the end of the season, you pull that wire off from around the bales and you kick that little pile over and all your potatoes just fall out. Couldn't be easier.
That's fascinating.
It's unbelievable.
I'm fascinated.
Yeah, I can't wait to do it.
We got to go find, we got to find some hay bales.
Yeah, well, we got a lot of people around here to sell it, I think.
I think we can get some hay bales. I didn't, I was going to do this last year and I didn't, I was kicking myself. I wanted to do this.
Well, look, I want to do it too. So we're going to do it.
Okay. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Joel, your website, strawbalegardens.com. You've written a lot of books, best selling books all over the world. This knowledge is, people want this. Tell us about your books. Where can they get them?
Yeah, Strawbale Gardens Complete is really the go-to book in terms of the how-to. You know, I've got another book out there called Solutions, Strawbale Solutions, which is really stories of strawbale gardeners around the world, but it's not the how-to book. So if you're going to buy one and you've never done this, look for Strawbale Gardens Complete. They can buy them on our website, strawbalegardenclub.com or strawbalegardens.com, either one. We have lots of free videos. We have, you know, an email series you can sign up for that'll teach you how to do strawbale gardening. It's all free on our website. We do sell a product called Bale Buster, which is the preparation sauce that you need on the bale. The fertilizer, we sell an organic version and a traditional version. If people want to get that delivered right to their house, they can order it off our website. We'll ship it right to you and goes out priority. So it goes out 2 day delivery.
Bale Buster. It's called a Bale Buster.
Bale Buster. Yeah. You know, I got so sick of people calling me all the time and emailing me. What do I buy? What kind of fertilizer? And then I try to explain, and they'd say, just tell me the brand name. And I'd say, well, you know, it depends on where you live and what store you shop at. Everybody carries different fertilizer. So we decided we just, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. We just make our own product. So we started a product called Bale Buster. But trying to get retail distribution is very difficult.
Why is that, do you think?
You know, you fight all these corporate giants that own the fertilizer business, and it's pretty tough to get shelf space.
Well, when they got, you know, they got four rows of Roundup, it's hard to have any other room for Bale Busters.
So we sell it on our website. You know, eventually we'll get some distribution, but it's just a matter of time.
Well, I'm excited. Are you going to send me some Bale Buster in a book? We're going to do this.
I'd be happy to. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
We got about 3 minutes, so stay on there. Are we going to do this, Ken?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not difficult to get started. I mean, you guys literally, if you started today and could get your hands on some bales, 12 days from now you could be planting, and you'll see the stuff grows very quickly. You know, you'll pass up your neighbor's garden who's already
out there
planting.
Okay, what should I plant? Things like, can I plant watermelons, cantaloupe? And what can I plant in these things?
Yeah, you can plant anything. You can plant any of those vine crops. Yep. They'll love this.
And
nice
then I just let the vines just kind of go on the ground, or what do I do?
Well, you want to make a trellis, and you'll see in the book, I'll send you a copy of the book. There's a way in there, real simple way. Use some farm fence posts and some fencing wire. And for about $10-$15, you can build a nice trellis above 4 or 5 bales. And it's very inexpensive to do.
This is fascinating.
And all your vines go up on that trellis. Yep.
This is, you know, they used to say in World War II to plant victory gardens. So this is, let's go back to straw bale victory gardens.
There you go.
Let's go forward.
We're going to need it. People are going to need it.
You know, people here in the States, for most of us at least, gardening is a hobby. But we do straw bale gardening now in over 60 countries around the world, believe it or not. And in some of the places where we've gone, it's not a hobby. You know, they don't grow food. They their family doesn't eat. So it's vitally important that they're successful. And some of the greatest stories are some of those in the third world, you know, where people have never been able to grow their own food for a variety of reasons. And this is the first time that they're actually accessible.
All right. So you feel pretty confident that my uncle and I can do this. This is pretty simple. We can plant a variety of things. This is, what's not to like about this? Everybody listening should at least try this. Try one bale, right?
Yeah. That's what I tell people. They're avid gardeners already. Just try one or two bales.
Well, even if they're not a gardener.
I'm not trying to convince everybody to switch their whole garden over. And for those who've never gardened, this is the perfect way to start gardening because you're guaranteed success. You know, you do a traditional garden, there's a high failure rate the first year because it's
well, that's not what my
people know.
That's not what Mike Bloomberg said. Mike Bloomberg said it's unskilled. Farming is unskilled.
Yeah, I'd like to see his vegetable garden sometime.
Yeah.
I like the fact there's no weeds. Man,
It's higher up. It's higher off the ground.
Yep. Holds moisture.
Weeds are horrible in the garden.
Hold 6 gallons, 5 gallons of water. So, yeah, there's a lot of big advantages.
Yes, I agree. I'm sold.
We're going to go look today. So, we need your book to design some of these other things around it, I think. But we can go find a bale and get at least. We put water in it and get a. I'm not putting blood meal in it.
No.
I'm not doing any pork blood. Joel, strawbalegardens.com. Been great that you can get some bale buster. You can get some a book. You can get some tips. You can get some encouragement. Let's all do this, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Let's do this.
I'm in.
Okay. Joel, last thought is yours, Joel. Got about 10 seconds.
Well, I just want to encourage everybody. Try and grow something. Doesn't matter what. Plant a couple tomatoes.
Life. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's have some life.
We eat a lot of tomatoes around.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Stay right there, Joel. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Great show rest of the week. Please join us. Happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. That's our goal. That's our prayers. Thank you so much for your support.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.